Yeah. What's up? How's it going? Good needle drop there. Our DJ's on point. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. LE2B, thanks for listening. Please rate and review and give us money on Patreon or go to the LE2B site and all that stuff. I'm Tom McCaffrey. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What?
All right. It was a good podcast.
Let's start doing it. So we were talking before, you know, I know you've really been following this writers actor strike thing pretty closely. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing rumblings that it's going to be resolve itself in the next, like, I've heard September, maybe October.
Well, then why do they move the Emmys to January?
I guess because even if they do come to some resolution, even like by September, October, it's still, you know, it's going to slow things down. You know, they have to get going. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be ready to just come out with the, when are the Emmys usually?
September.
Oh, okay.
I have a feeling the writers are not going to get a good deal out of this thing.
Yeah, I think it's getting to that point, like they're kind of budging a little bit, the studios or whatever. And they're just kind of like, all right, we got to take what we can get at this point. But, you know, so
the thing is, the studios right now are still making money. The writers aren't. So they could wait them out a really long time.
Yeah, but I think that they're like realistically, you know, I think the main issue now is promotion for things. I think that's what's really affecting them. Like they have big things coming out and I think it's going to be hard if you don't have any stars promoting them like that
Barbie movie kind of bombed because no one was out there promoting it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's not even going to break 2 billion. Yeah, I mean, that was just a total fucking anomaly.
I know, flute. But the writers and actors must have hated it. Like, oh, we're not going to promote anything. Here's Barbie. Uh-oh.
I know, literally, like one of the biggest movies of all time. But, you know, that's true. I don't know. I mean, like, but well, you know what's so funny?
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, though, those Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones movies, you know, I just keep reading. They're like 600 million. Apparently, it's the biggest bomb in the history of their studio. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I remember a movie made like 50 million. That was like the biggest thing you'd ever heard of.
And they always go, this movie needs to make 2 billion to break even. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't make this movie then. That just seems like that's a big nut right there. You know,
I don't think a movie's ever made that. But
you know what I mean? They always tell you about that with marketing and all this. This movie needs to make like $600 million to break even. I'm like, then maybe make a smaller movie, right?
The other thing is, how are they not making their money back? Tickets are just like aren't tickets like a million? Even though I think that they run into problems now with all those movie pass things.
Right.
You know, where it's like $20 and you can see as many movies as you want. So that's got to hurt some box office. Also, me sneaking into every movie, that probably doesn't help.
or stealing movie from the internet. You can't even do that anymore, though. That they really, it shows you how like they can't, with an election, for some reason, there's always hijinks going on. Even though the last election was, I think, very clean, unlike what Trump people say.
Yeah.
But there's always some little something. But it used to be so easy to stream and download a movie that was in the theater online. You do it now, you might as well just throw your laptop away because you will get fucking every virus. And
oh, I know. It's insane. That's like another, you know, disqualified. That's why I don't like to watch porn. You know, if I'm ever in a porn type of mood, I really will think twice about it because you can't just go watch porn. If you go to watch porn, there's just like 50 windows open up.
Right. Well, not that I watch porn, but let's say I did. I noticed that certain sites are better than the others. If you go like to the main ones, I think you're okay.
Like what are the main ones?
Well, let's say Pornhub.
You know better than me.
No, I've heard Pornhub.
Yeah.
It seems like there's not a lot of problems there. But if you go to these ones that are like, you know,
Sex Dungeon,
shitting on people's face.org. You're going to have someone, Russian is looking at everything in your computer within an hour, you know,
sextrafficking.com. That one's right. Yeah. That one is not that safe. No, but it's like, do you remember this is a thing that used to happen way back in the day early on in internet porn where like you would open when it was like on your laptop before like the smartphone thing, and just like 50 windows would just start opening up. And then you would like have to like, it became like whack-a-mole where you're trying to hit it, you know, and they made the X so small, and then like you had to close them. And then there'd be a thing where it just, you would come to a window that you just couldn't close at all.
That was your computer now.
Yes. You're just like, so just now my laptop is just porn, like that, just this porn movie just forever. I guess you had, that's when you had to like reboot your computer.
Yeah. But by then, and then after that, your computer was working so slowly after that. It would never work the same. It would always be a little slower. You see somebody
like, I might as well just go start talking to women.
I'd rather throw up my laptop, to be honest.
Yeah.
There are some weird ads that pop up. I was talking to another comic about this because I thought, and this comic was young, so thank God, because I had been on one of these sites and this ad keeps popping up saying, do you want to fuck grannies? Have you seen these ads?
Yes, I've seen a thing where it's like, I've heard where it's right. Like, this isn't a dating site. It's like grandmothers force you to fuck them. And I was like, what? Okay, that sounds like a nightmare.
Right. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm a little, because I'm a little older, that's what they might think my target demo is. But then I was talking to some like young 20-year-olds. Like, oh, we get the same thing. I'm like, is there a market for this? You know? But apparently the ads say that it's like a dating site, like you said, a dating app. And if you connect and you say you're going to fuck them and then you don't, apparently that you're getting trouble, which I really would feel right. Like I would not want to sign on to that.
What do? They stop sending you $15 checks on your birthday. Oh man, I have so many grandmothers mad at me.
You know, they could catfish too, like, or show you a picture from like 15 years ago, and then you see them and they're like, and they have the oxygen tent on. You're like, you know, you have to fuck oxygen tent lady. I'm like, nah, I don't.
How are grandmothers even using the computer? I don't even know. Like,
that's really funny. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is funny. Yeah, that the granny porn. But yeah, no, I've seen that where they're like, this isn't a dating site. It's like all aggressive. It's like mean. Like, you have to, like, if you choose one, then you have to sleep with them. And I'm like, okay, well, there's like nothing, like literally, like nothing about this is appealing. Like, who is doing the marketing for this? They're gross and disgusting, and I have no choice in it.
Right. So then they're technically raping you because you have to say yes. Technically, there's no consent. So
right. Imagine if that was just a thing, like on the other end, ads came up for women. This isn't a dating site. You have to fuck these guys, these old guys.
Okay, imagine if it was just any guy.
That's allowed. What?
Imagine if it was any guy. You know how many guys would sign up for that site?
I know, it'd be like, I think it would be a problem.
But that's really funny because it is. It must be like some Russian spam, you know, harvesting thing, because how many grannies do know how to use these apps and computers? You know, I mean, I have some, I would imagine.
I can't imagine from the pictures I've seen. They don't look like. They don't look very apt with technology. So anyway,
because I have an older member of my family. I don't want to out anyone, but their grasp on the internet sometimes isn't so great. And this older member of my family wanted to get a new computer. I'm like, oh, get one. And they're like, but I'm going to lose my Yahoo Mail. And I'm like, no, it doesn't come with a computer. I'm trying to explain the internet. And I'm like, forget it. Just keep your old computer.
Yeah, it's too late. Yeah, that's I get it. I guess I think it's just scary. Right. That's what happened with me in video games when I got to a certain age. I like would see, I used to be really into video games. And then at one age, I was older. I saw like what video games were and the joystick. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like it had like 15 buttons on it. Remember our video games had like two buttons? That and was all the these games, jump and punch.
Right. And all these games now, these video games where it's like you have to do so much even before you start playing. You set up your character, your avatar, you know, what things, if it's like a pay thing, you have to pay all, you're spending 2 hours even before you start.
Right. There's like 50. You have to choose like 50 things. And they're like, don't use that guy. Oh, he's bad. He doesn't do anything. And like, okay.
Do you ever go to these? They're fun. You ever go to these places called Barcade? Have you ever been to any of those?
Yeah, I've been to one in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And there's a few kind of like that where they all have these old video games. They still, to me, hold up. You still see people playing them because they're so simple. It's like two buttons, like you said.
Yeah, I was recently in Detroit. We went to an arcade and I played like whatever they had, Miss Pac-Man or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and it holds up, but it is funny how we just had no. It was funny back then, you know, for a while, you had to go out to like play. It was literally like even video games, like you had to like leave the house and like interact with people. Like you had to go to like sketchy places,
right,
to play video games. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of times those arcades would be in malls, shopping malls. And, you know, they kind of got rid of those because drug dealers would go in there. They're like, hey, there's a bunch of young kids with quarters. Fucking, I'm like, this is where this is where I'm going to make my move.
Granny porn stars. I mean, pedophiles. I mean, you know, I remember going, you know, in the city of Manhattan in the 80s, it was already like rough. And I remember where we went to, they didn't really have arcades. They had one arcade in Times Square. And I remember I drove past it once. And I remember I was in a car and we drove, and I was like, that looks like to my dad. I was like, go faster. But like, I was like, I can't tell you how scary that fucking, I think it was called Playland. I think if you look, if you Google it, I mean, it looked just terrifying. I was like, there's no way. It literally looked like it had been designed by like thieves, by like robbers.
Right. And it's right in the Times Square at that point where there's all these porn theaters. So you're having the creepiest elements around a place for children. I mean, I think back in the day, we were just basically serving kids up on a platter.
Well, yeah, totally. I feel like when we were growing up in New York City, we literally were walking through the internet.
Yeah.
Like we were you know, like how the internet is, it's like, that's what we had to walk through to just get. It was like, oh, there's like a porn theater. Oh, there's like a prostitute. Oh,
right.
Like, it was like Grand Theft Auto. Oh, there's video games. Oh, there's a guy trying to murder you. So,
but I do say, we talked about it before, the 70s and 80s or whatever, I think, or like even before that, but especially the 80s, like a golden age for pedophiles, man.
Pedophiles and serial killers. I mean, they just said no way to find you. Like, you know, like they'd be like, I always watch those documentaries and they're like, and then he murdered, you know, another hooker in the middle of Times Square. And they found it and they were like, well, someone might have seen him, you know, and then they don't find. And then what happens, a lot of those, it's weird, like the serial killer documentaries, like they'll be like, they were killed 30 people and then it just stopped.
Right.
For like 10 years. And then he did it again. You know, it's like, dude, you just should have stopped. Like, it was, they weren't going to get you.
Right.
That's the only reason they get them is just keep doing it.
Right. But they do it for so long without being caught. I mean, you know, if you were a creepy pedophile, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you? I'm not encouraging pedophiles. I'm just saying back in the day.
Yeah. And also, and if you're a pedophile who's actually like going through that, a serial killer, you're not very good at controlling your urges, apparently. Right. You know what I mean? You're not like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
I think cutting off the heads of 50 people, prostitutes, that's enough for me.
Yeah. It's not like getting gluten out of your diet. You know?
Right. Right. You know, I'm just going to do something else now with my life.
Right.
I'm going to get into bowling.
Yeah,
I got that out of, that was just like a thing I was doing for a while. But yeah, so the writer's strike.
Although I think getting gluten out of your diet is maybe harder than stopping killing prostitutes. There's a lot of things with gluten.
Yeah, gluten is rough to get out of your, isn't gluten in everything?
I think so, yeah. So what were you saying? I'm sorry, you were.
I was just saying, but the writer's strike, I guess it's going to end. But what's interesting is, you know, one thing I was thinking the other day is like everything with technology, it's just, it's constantly progressing and they're just so obsessed with innovating everything that it's almost like they've run out of things to try and improve, that now they're just improving things that like weren't that hard to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like they're like, no, we got to improve this now. You know, like the volume button, that was a thing, like
right,
in the car, like, no, we need it. We need it like closer to your hand. And I'm like, it was already like right here. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I had to go like this. Now it's like, no, no, not now, it's here.
Right. Well, I noticed one thing with the AI stuff now, because right now AI is like the darling of Wall Street, kind of like the internet was 20 years ago. And there's so many new apps popping up and things like that. And they're all saying that they're AI, but they're not really AI. They're AI adjacent, but they're like, this is AI. Because I saw this app, which you can have like a written sketch and they'll just turn it into a video with like a fake avatar person. And they're like, this is AI. I'm like, this is not AI. It just,
just looks like shit.
No, it looks okay, but AI is it thinking for you. It's writing the sketch for you and doing right. it. Not taking something and turning it into a video. That's not AI. But there's a company, I don't know if you know this company, NVIDIA.
No.
They were like, they're like the backbone of the internet, and they've been around for a long time. I had shares of it 20 years ago, and I sold it like an idiot because it wasn't moving. And if I didn't sell it, I would have been very rich right now.
Really?
But now it's moving again, because now they're like, they're all about AI and the stock is like exploding. And it's just, it's a bubble again. There's going to be a bubble with all this stuff, but you just say AI, anything now. So many people in like Silicon Valley, they're all just going into this now, but it's not all AI. It's just people saying, oh, it's AI, but it's not AI.
What I think is funny too, is about like, you know, this goes along with all that stuff in the writer's strike, because they're like, well, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to run out of stuff to watch and they need us. But like what I was talking about, like the innovation and like so much content and so much streaming, with all that stuff, like everyone, like the most popular show right now apparently is Suits.
Yeah.
So like how did that happen? Like,
because no one ever watched it when it was on USA 10 years ago, right?
But like, why now? Why is like, oh, look at this. Like, we have all this stuff. We have content. Like, you can get anything you want. Like, you can watch anything you want. It's like, everyone's like, Suits. Yeah, that's what I'm into. And it's just like, so with everything that's out there and all this stuff, it's just weird to me. I just feel like, and even with me, I feel like I end up, when I'll be at home, like at night trying to watch something, I usually will just, I'll end up watching like 90210. You know what I mean? And it's like, what I mean? So
that's why I support the writers, but I don't think they're, in the end, if this strike ends, they're going to claim some sort of victory. But the writers are kind of, I mean, I feel bad for them, but they don't, like when you were talking about before the show, there was a movie, What's It Talk to Me?
Yeah.
And that was just made by some YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
And not even in this country. So they're not, have to deal with any writers or,
but that's another I was talking about. So this horror movie, Talk to Me, A24 released. So A24 seems to be this like outlier. I mean, A24 I feel like is taking over like quality filmmaking. Like whenever I see it's slowly happened. Like anytime I see A24, I'm like, oh, what this must be like, not shit. You know,
they're like the Miramax of today,
basically. Yeah. And like, so it's a horror movie, and I'm into horror movies. And I was hearing good buzz about it, and I saw it, and it's like I was like blown away by how good it is. It's like it's really well made, and it's like it's actually scary and like off-putting and unsettling. And I was like, and it's these two YouTuber guys from Australia, and they were saying that this was their first movie that they made, and they got like a deal for like $4 million to make it. And then like all these studios, or I don't know, these people in the US were offering them more money. And they were like, no, we want to make it with the actors we want and the way we want. Like, basically they were like, no, we want it to be good. We'd rather like make a good movie than like you give us $10 million. And then we have to use like fucking whoever the fucking person from Euphoria, you know what I mean? Just like, whoever, like everyone in the movie is like unbelievable, and you've never heard of any of them, you know. And that's a weird, you know, we've been going that way for a while, where like most movies I like now, things I like now, I don't know who the people in it are. It's not driven anymore by the personas, you know what I mean?
Right. And I think I read that article a couple months ago where they were saying how horror movies are very cheap, obviously, to produce, and even cheaper because no one cares about the stars of a horror movie. The horror movie is the star. In fact, if it's someone that famous in the horror movie, it's almost distracting, right? Because you're like, oh, look, Tom Cruise is in this horror movie,
right?
You don't need to have someone like that, because it's the story, basically.
Yeah.
Like, and don't you think it's also scarier? It rings true more when they're not famous, because you feel like they're just regular people.
That makes it more up. Yeah, that makes it more off-putting or unsettling, because horrible things are happening to them, and you're like, oh, I feel bad for her. I don't know who that is. Maybe that's the main girl in it is like unbelievable in it, and really bad things happen. Like, you can tell it's a really good horror movie when, like, it's not just like, oh, that was scary. You like leave and you're like, I feel bad for that chick. Like, that's sad. Like, it's like sad. You know what I mean? Which is like, and I was like, man, that sucks. I feel this way. But I'm like, it's a horror movie. Like, horrible. It should end horribly for the people. Yeah. You know what I mean? And a lot of horror movies end where, like, it does end horribly. Like, those Friday 13th movies, I was into them, but I wasn't leaving like, oh God, that poor girl. Like, she wanted to be she wanted to be a physicist, and then Jason cut her legs off. You know, you were rooting for fucking Jason in the movie. It's like, you wanted him to murder the people.
Yeah. Well, you remember those things. The whole thing was that if they were having sex, they were getting killed. They always said, right. We talked about this before. I think that in the 80s, it was sort of like a metaphor for the sex life in the 80s, where you would have sex once and you would die from AIDS.
Yeah.
And they would always say that those stories were kind of like
an allegory
for that.
And also, like, it was supposed to be kind of like, there were like religious undertones.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sin, like, oh, yeah. Look at the sinner. Yeah, that it was, you know. And then the final girl is always like the virtuous girl.
Yeah. And I think the sin that actually plays a part, because in the 80s we kind of got more religious again. The moral majority came into power, and Ronald Reagan and all that stuff. So those movies, I guess, probably fit for the time, I would imagine.
And this is the thing I'm seeing. So I saw this movie, Talk to Me, at Union Square. Mm-hmm. And Union Square, I hadn't been there in a while. And like, they make it so easy to sneak into other movies. It's almost like, it almost feels like it's like a requirement. Like, I almost feel like they borderline, first of all, they don't care, and no one working there gives a shit. But like, it's almost like they're helping you. Like, if I had to literally go to another floor, like, to sneak into Barbie, because I saw Barbie the first time, and of course I got in like a fight in the middle because I had to yell at these kids.
So I saw it again
because it was just starting, but I had to like go to I had to go up an escalator past like ticket people, and they were just kind of like staring. They didn't even say anything. So anyway, I went in, and when I was watching it, have you seen it? You saw it, right?
No.
So there's a part at the beginning where they're like at a party. And it sort of reminded me in tone of Boogie Nights a little bit, in the party scene when he's first kind of being inducted into the world, where they're all like, hey, what's up? Yeah. Like, cause it's showing like, yeah, we're having a great time. And like, this is like the peak of the 70s, and like, nothing's wrong. There's no way.
Okay.
And, like,
I think I saw that clip though. I did see that.
And I was thinking, like, it's just an interesting, like, societally, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's even a word, like, yeah, where we are as a society, because Boogie Nights came out when, like, kind of right when the internet was around, but not really. And like, our society was a little hedonistic, and but like, it was a little more chaste than it is. We didn't have everything at our fingertips yet. So like, seeing the behind the scenes of like a movie about porn was kind of like a novel concept. So I feel like we've gone so far where like our entire society has been so like muddied up and like dirtied up. They're just porn everywhere. We're just surrounded by sex. It's almost like now we need to see something more like pure. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, doing, if you did a movie about like the behind the scenes of the porn industry now, it would just be like, what is that? I don't want to see it. This is gross. Like, they're gross.
People having sex with dogs, right?
But you know what I mean? It just kind of like, it showed me like, oh, like this is where we are as a society. Like, the internet has kind of, I think people are like, they need to go their entertainment to be a little like cleaner and more like not as cynical. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like, everything's so horrible in the real world. There's literally a guy who's like, who literally might be president, who's literally like, oh, when I'm president again, I'm going to like ruin the entire, I'm going to burn the country to the ground. Like, there's a 50% chance that that guy's going to win, you know? So it's like, you're like, you know, let me go see Barbie. You know? It's
yeah.
Like...
yeah, it could be a game changer. This movie, though, is Talk to Me, right? It's an Australian movie, right?
Yeah, and I really, you know, I am into horror movies, but like, and I kind of knew what it was going in a little, but I was like, I could tell it was good because it was packed. And at the beginning, you know, in the credit, the whatever, the previews, there's like people talking, and I was like, all right, here we go. Okay. And I was like, this might be bad too, because it has the word talk in the fucking, the movie's called Talk to Me.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
not at stage direction for the audience. Right?
Right. Which I was like, that's not good. Like, that's kind of giving the audience carte blanche of like talking to the screen.
There's a new movie coming out, Yell at the Screen, actually. That's right. Coming out next week.
I just saw that in Harlem. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
I found a clip of this movie, though. Can I play it? It's an Australian movie, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'll play a clip. There's a clip.
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Could you hear that?
Yeah, of course. The Crocodile Dundee, my favorite Australian horror movie. I was watching an old clip of the Oscars, like from like the 80s. And again, this just shows how things shift culturally. And you just like, you know, what's huge. It just shows you like things that are huge at one point, they're not going to stay that way.
Right.
At the beginning of the Oscars, they're like, to start off the show, please welcome Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan. And he comes out and does this like 5-minute speech. And I'm like, why the fuck is Paul Hogan opening the Oscars? Like, could he be like, you know what I mean? It's just and then
that
the
must
other,
have been
like,
that year when the movie came out, because that was the like the biggest movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that other guy, Yahoo Serious?
Yeah. Young Einstein.
Yeah. And that movie made no sense to me because they said that Einstein grew up in like Australia, which they already lost me on that one. I mean, come on. You could have a young Einstein where it was a young German dude, whatever. But I mean,
I think they lost me and they were like Yahoo Serious in. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but that does not sound good. Like, why is this guy's name Yahoo Serious?
He was like, if you're too young to remember, he was like basically, I think, the Carrot Top of Australia. I would think.
Yeah, that tells you he didn't have a lot of staying power. But but yeah, I don't know what. So I was saying about. Oh, I was saying I knew it was good because people were talking before. And then when it started, no one talked because you could tell they were really wrapped up in it. Like, it was like, I'm into horror movies and like, you know, but you know, you ever meet someone who's like, I don't like horror movies. Oh, they give me nightmares. They really scare me. Like, I guarantee you some people are seeing this movie thinking like, that looks kind of fun. And then like, they're just going to destroy their lives. I mean, like, it's like really scary.
Yeah, but I don't understand those people. They go, I can't sleep. And they're like adults. I'm like, are you 12? What do you think? The boogeyman's coming out from under your fucking bed? I mean, come on.
That is true. Yeah. I never really had that problem. Like, I can't sleep and I can't sleep usually, but not from horror movies. I mean, like, that is true. Like,
that's the depression. That's all that is.
It's depression and just everything else about my life.
Right.
Keeps me up at night and terrifying.
Anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like talking to people, like going to work, you know, getting a job. Like, people are like, I'm not worried about, you know, being possessed by a voodoo hand. You know what I mean? Like, I'm worried about like not returning emails or something.
I don't want to go off on a quick tangent, but I was talking to someone the other day about Calvin and Hobbes. You remember Calvin and Hobbes? It was a great comic strip.
Yeah, yeah.
And my favorite part of that was they'd always have this bit where he would go into bed and he'd be scared. He goes, are there any monsters under my bed? Did you ever see when he'd do that?
No.
Yeah, and it would always be like the monsters would reply, just like 3 or 4. Just go to bed.
That was like a regular thing?
Yeah, he would do it. And it was always so funny. He goes, are there any monsters under my bed tonight? And they're like, you just hear like, no, just go to sleep now, kid. You know,
but you know, do you know that comedian Jesse Pop?
Yes.
He used to be like a New, I think he was from Detroit, but he was in New York. He had a joke that I remember I thought was so funny. And I think it was like the first time I saw him, where he was saying that when he was like 10, he thought that the band Kiss was like living, had shrunk themselves down and was waiting under his bed to kill him.
Oh my God.
But, which is like scary, but yeah, only if he draped his arm over the side of the bed, which right. That was the thing I had. I think a lot of kids,
I was like that too.
And it's like, you know, I get it and everything, but it's like, if you really break that down, it's just like, he's, and then he imitates Kiss under his bed. He's like, all right, you know, other members of the group Kiss, I know we've gone out of our way to shrink ourselves down and we're dedicating our lives now to living under Jesse's bed and with the intent to murder him. But let's be fair about this.
That's a good deal.
Only if he drapes his hand down. But yeah, I remember being like, that was like a joke that I was kind of like, I thought that was really good because I feel like everyone, I had that exact thought as a kid, right?
Right. Or how about the, they've used this in movies and stuff like that, the ventriloquist puppet.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a comedian I just worked with, and he had a puppet, ventriloquist puppet, and he just went to go to the bathroom, and I swear that thing looked like it was going to kill me. It fucking, those things are fucking, you know what I'm talking about? The old school ones that are just,
yeah, yeah,
evil.
The ones like in all the, I mean, it, well, because all growing up, every movie and thing about it was, it killed you.
Right.
Like that was like Twilight Zone and, you know.
Right. But the whole thing was, it would, since you were telling the puppet what to do, after a while, the puppet started telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And inevitably, it was always to just kill people.
Yeah. And you know what? I almost feel like that probably is accurate. I feel like if you're dedicating your life to ventriloquism, you probably are already a little unstable and loopy and twisted in the head. So it I don't think it's a far jump from there to listening to a ventriloquist dummy to, you know, telling you to murder people. Also, whenever it's like dummies and things and inanimate objects or animals telling people things, why is it always like murdering people?
Right.
So it clearly starts with them. You know what I mean? They right. clearly have it in their head. They want to murder people, but they're just trying to like, they don't want to take the blame. You know what I mean? They're just trying to pawn it off. Like, wasn't me.
Well, you were segueing about it, but talking about dummies, you okay, should get good. To the what's going Trump? On in politics or just the debates tomorrow, which.
Okay. Yeah, let's get into this. So. The big, you know, I guess the big news, which I don't know if it was that surprising. So Trump is not debating.
Right. And he's going to air a pre-taped interview with Tucker Carlson, you know. And
first of all, where does
the Drudge Report was calling him Donald Duck, which was actually pretty clever. Because he's ducking the interview.
First of all, where would you even watch Tucker? When I first heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, Fox News. And I'm like, oh, no. Isn't he like on just like Pornhub now or something?
No. He's fucking grannies on Pornhub now.
But where do he's on Twitter? I mean, dude.
No, he's on X. You know, it's so right, funny now. Right, okay. All these like news organizations, they have to reference tweets all the time. And it's like Prince now. It's like X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm like, oh my right. God, must be so annoyed that they have to write that extra sentence because Elon Musk is a lunatic, you know?
That X, that is not a good rebranding. It's just not. It's not original. I immediately think of like five other things.
Right. They said that. Like they said that when Elon Musk, he was one of the founders of PayPal and he kept trying to change it to X. He loves X. And the other partners were like, no, we're trying to just have people buy stuff. We don't want this to be a porn site or people to think it's a porn site.
Right.
He never understood that because he's a genius.
Is he as smart as everyone? I know he's a billionaire and everything, but he seems really like an idiot to me when I listen to him.
It's called being born on third base, you know?
So I feel like everyone's kind of, I feel like he did this thing. Obviously it's a big accomplishment, but like, I don't know. I feel like no one's like delving in anymore. They're just kind of giving it the bet. Like, Twitter has been completely like, you know, ruined by him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's totally collapsed.
It's such a shitstorm now that basically he's making it impossible to really do anything on Twitter unless you pay him that money.
Right. And then he's blocking people. If you like, oh, I don't like this, he blocks you from it or something.
Yeah. But it's like they're basically putting Twitter behind a paywall. That's where it's going.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can still tweet, but you can't tweet that much and you can't be on there that much. And, you know, but I don't know. I mean, you're asking, I don't know how many, there's worldwide subscribers to Twitter, a few hundred million. You're going to ask them all to pay? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, so the other thing, too, is he's like, you know, and I'm going to do the counter programming. Like, so like
Trump,
during the debate,
about-
yeah, Trump, I'm going to be doing, you know, an interview with Tucker Carlson. It's like, I mean, do they not know how, like, the media and things work now? You don't have to watch things when they're on anymore. Yeah. Like, he's acting like it's like 1982. Like, it's like, well, I'm going to be on at the same time. And it's just like, right, that would have worked in the 80s. Like, it doesn't work anymore.
But he always thinks about that. When he talks about, when I was on your show, the ratings. I'm like, ratings don't mean anything. Views mean something. So why do you care with the ratings? And it's, no one's going to watch.
Who's going to, what is he going to say? What new wisdom is he going? It's going to be, what do you think it's going to be? What do you think he's going to talk about?
Well, I think they're going to have to talk about why he isn't doing the debate, you know, and he might go.
Okay, that's the first 2 minutes. And then what?
He might go, if I had a feeling, he'd be like, I'm so far ahead of these guys. I don't want to give them a platform, or they're all going to gang up on me. I don't need that.
All right. Well, let me give you this is my play by play. Okay. Witch hunt. Crooked Hillary, Crooked Joe, sanctimonious, right. Chris Christie's fat. I won the election by a lot. It's a witch hunt. I have 4 indictments, perfect phone call. I mean, like, it's just like he talks about 5 things. So I don't know what everyone's like. I can't wait. It's like these idiots who keep seeing the Fast and the Furious movies. It's like, what do you think is going to happen in this one?
Right. Well, did you see that there was some poll that came out? They said that most of these MAGA types trust Trump more than members of their own family. I mean, holy fuck.
It is insane. But then I thought about it and I was like, yeah, well, a lot of these people's families are probably not the most trustworthy people.
Yeah,
but no, I know it's insane. It's a cult. It's a cult.
But I was reading this other thing. And like you said, this guy, Johnny Eastman, was indicted.
Today. John Eastman. Yeah.
But these people that are the co-conspirators and things like that, they have huge legal bills and they're trying to raise money on GoFundMe or wherever they're raising it. And they're asking him for some of the money, like for money for him, for their legal bills. And you think, you know what the answer with that would be? No answer.
Fuck you.
The problem is if he's not helping these people out, you know, they flip, you know, they'll flip.
So the problem is there's 18 people potentially to flip now. That's a big number of people to like have in a pool of possible flips. I was speculated the other day who I think would flip. I was thinking maybe one of the lower, you know, the people that you don't know who they are, the fake elector people. But Meadows, what's going on with Meadows? I mean, like, I thought Meadows had flipped, but apparently he hasn't flipped.
Who knows? I heard from I read that he had even heard a lot from him, so he could be one of those guys. I mean, they're going to have, you know, they're going to want to have this case down lockdown. So someone's going to give them some really good info.
I think what's going to happen is I think they have it on lockdown. And I think as it comes out slower and slower, these people are just going to realize it's a RICO charge, which just like
covers everything. Right.
Usually they plead those out because they're so unbeatable. And I mean, if they do try them, it's like something like a 93% conviction rate. This isn't something that they're like, you know, I think we have a pretty good case. This is something where they're like, they weren't going to go forward unless they had some airtight shit.
Right.
So what do you think is going to, so Eastman, you know, I don't know, he got arrested and he like did some interview and they're like, so you still think the election was stolen? He's like, absolutely. And it's just like, how can they like still, there's no way that guy thinks to the, and they have like texts where he's like, yeah, it wasn't stolen. We need to do this. If this went to the Supreme Court, we would lose 9-0.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was Eastman also, I guess, surrendered himself. So is he going to be in jail? Or he just
No, I think they processed. I don't know what they did. They, you know, took a mugshot and all that shit, and then they let him go. And he went out the front. You know, he knew he would run into reporters because he wanted like the lawyer. You know, one thing I will say is like, well, so like, I just can't wait to see that Sidney Powell. I hate her so much. Yeah. Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis. I was thinking Sidney Powell might flip because she's just such a wacko.
Yeah. And she's the one that was all over that Fox Dominion thing where all the people were saying, stop putting her on. She's a lunatic. You know, like people like Tucker Carlson, whoever was saying it. And yeah, that'd be a good choice, I think.
She even has like lunatic hair. Like her hair makes is like the hair of a lunatic. She is just, I mean, they're, you know, she's just one of the big faces of what. And Giuliani,
I just saw that
sunk in yet with him.
I just saw that movie Dope Sick. You ever see it's Dope Sick and Painkiller? The ones on Dope Sick's much.
I saw
much,
part of it with Michael Keaton.
Yeah. And I didn't even know this, that when Giuliani went into private practice, his biggest client was Purdue Pharma. And he defended them and he got them a good deal where they can continue to poison the country with Oxy.
Right.
So I'm like, holy fuck. That's this figures. Guy's been a piece of shit for, you know, he went from the guy, you know, prosecuting mafia and Michael Milken, those insider traders, being a mayor to kind of turn the city around to being the worst person. He was bad 15 years ago.
So what do you think? I think he just was always bad. We didn't really have any access or like, you know, knowledge of it.
And by the way, Dope Sick does not make him look good, which is
good. He in it? Like,
no, they just a guy doing an impression of him.
No, that's what I mean. There's someone playing him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure they're not. Who did they get to play him? Like Nosferatu? But. Do you think it's sinking? Well, you know, one thing is like, I know they have to put on a brave face, but do you think it's sinking it? Like I saw Trump, there was some quick clip. I saw an interview he did with Fox, I guess. And, you know, he just looks worn out kind of, you know what I mean? He doesn't look.
They say that his energy seems to be lower. So, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know how he holds up. I really don't. But. You know,
I don't know either because I'll have like two things to do in a day and I'm like, oh, I have to go to the pharmacy and the bank. Like, what am I getting? This guy's just, you know, going to try, you know, he's getting arrested and everyone's coming after him. And
even Joe Biden, I mean, he's 80 and he's fucking, you know, he's still running around. I don't know how these guys fucking do it.
Yeah, they must just be on. I have no idea. They must just be on a very strict, you know, I don't think that they're.
Well, Trump's probably on Adderall. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And also, I don't think they're up at 1 a.m. watching 90210 reruns. That would be me if I was president. Like, we're not sure what he's doing. Apparently, he's watching 90210 season 3 again.
But you think when Trump was president, he wasn't doing that? Not that show, but like they said he would never read briefs. They would give them, and they would actually try to make the briefs even more brief because he would just look at it and throw it away.
I didn't get the vibe he was really reading much of anything. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, you remember some days he would tweet so much that you were like, dude, aren't you president? Like, who has time to do this all?
And now he just does it on the other one. He's not on. He won't get on X anymore.
Right. Well, that was surprising to me, but the second he tweets, Truth Social's fucked. And he probably has a lot of investors in that will be very angry with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do it. Yeah. I think we've talked about this. Like, he eventually will go on Twitter and fuck everybody because that's what he does.
You think so? What do you think?
You're not surprised about that? Like fucking people over for money?
Well, on Twitter, though, you think he'll... I feel like he's like staved off being on X for so long that I don't understand it.
Well, what happens now is just people take screenshot his Truth Social thing and put it on Twitter. So it's similar.
And have you seen them like they every now and then they put them on the news and they're just like someone having a melt, someone literally having a breakdown, a slow breakdown, like, They're all in caps, and
that was all his tweets anyway. That's, you know,
but it was more towards the end. But what do you think is going to happen in this debate tomorrow? I know, like, so the whole thing is he's not going to be there, but they're all just going to be talking about him, and that everyone's going to go after DeSantis. This is kind of it for DeSantis.
You heard the story about DeSantis. Some of his people released his debate prep.
What? So they did that on purpose? Why?
I don't know. I don't know if it was on purpose. I don't know what it was. But now they're like, oh, go after that. What's that guy?
Vivek Swami, right? Guy.
This, that, and the other thing. And they're like, do this, do that, defend Trump. And now they're like, if he does any of that, people, the other candidates are going to be like, oh,
is that who your debate prep team? Yeah. I mean, yeah. The main thing, first of all, I'm totally watching that.
Oh,
shit.
My God.
I mean, this is going to be a Christie. Christie's going to have a fucking field day with this.
Shit. Mop the floor with fucking.
I mean, he is, right? I mean, yeah. He is so jacked up, and everyone is like, you can almost like, he almost looks like he's like full of cum. You know what I mean? Like, he just cannot wait to jizz all over all their faces. And Trump's not going to be there,
right?
Which makes it so they're all just nothing. Like, Ron DeSantis is just no charisma. On top of what you were saying, he has that against him too. The debate prep shit.
And Christie, I mean, if he didn't do the Bridgegate, you know, this would have been a different thing. But he was. But the one thing with him, he's very affable. He's a very good speaker. He's smart, and he was a prosecutor, so he knows how to go on the attack.
Yeah,
debating him is a scary proposition. Ask Marco Rubio. He fucking filleted him in 2016.
So this is going to be, and I think they're going to go. He's going to go. So he's going to literally bait Trump, basically, like, come on, like, where it's like, all right, like, he's going to mock him for not being there.
Right? This is going to be with a live audience. I would imagine so.
I think it is, yeah.
So Christie will get booed a lot, but he don't give a fuck.
He's already used to it.
He's doing these speeches and whatever. It's almost like he's almost like the in wrestling, like the bad guy comes out there and like likes the booze. He's gonna revel on that shit,
right? Yeah, except it is like basically wrestling fans. Yeah. It's like not much different, but No, I can't wait. I mean, I just hope he delivers. And because who were the other one? Like that Vivek guy? I mean, they're kind of saying he might be good. He might. This is definitely his chance to kind of like.
Oh, yeah.
Break out.
Well, the thing that, you know, he's very rich, so he can kind of self-finance. The funny thing was that's what I always said about Trump. He's like, he doesn't need donors. He's so rich. He'll pay for this whole campaign himself. He didn't pay out a dime in his fucking campaign. He just stole everyone's money who donated.
Well, then I'm so rich. I remember him saying, 2015 to that, like, I don't need any money. You know, I'm just doing this, you know, for you guys. You know, he's just such a fucking, he's just such a blowhard. But like, he, and then all he does now is ask for donations for his legal fees.
Right. And then and there's all of that weird hiding. I just remember one thing with Trump where he'd always go, I'm my own man. So, you know, no one has to buy me. I can pay for this campaign myself. No one has to buy me. And the thing is that anyone can buy him. You give him money, he'll do anything.
Yeah.
He'll do anything. Saudis, Russians, we don't, you know. So he's
it's
like,
almost like everything he said was like bullshit.
He's probably the easiest man to bribe in America, I would imagine.
He would sell on anyone. For now. I'm just waiting for the, you know, when you, I mean, it's already kind of start watching him throw everyone under the bus for these cases, like for the Georgia thing. He's just
these coast conspirators, he's not going to help you.
That's what's so funny is they still will not jump ship. Like Eastman, like, yes, it was stolen. It's like, Eastman, you're done. He's literally going to be like, oh, Eastman told me I should do this.
Right.
It was all him. What am I supposed to do? He said to do it. Giuliani, he said to do it. I don't know. They're lawyers. They told me to do it. So before we end, who are the other people who are even going to be in this debate? Nikki Haley?
Nikki Haley, but she's like running for vice president. That's her thing. Then you got Mike Pence. I don't know what the fuck, you know, I really don't. I don't understand.
Still going to like be like, oh, you know, I respect him. You mean the guy who literally sicked, whose campaign slogan is hang you?
Yeah. I'm trying to work on this joke on stage where I just talk, I do some Joe Biden jokes, and I'm like, no one gets mad about Joe Biden jokes, you know, Democrat, Republican. It's not really because Republicans hate him, but Democrats are not like, I die for this guy, because basically Democrats are never like that. Yeah. You know, even with Obama, who is loved, maybe there's certain people that would like, you can't fuck with Obama. But and then I brought up like, he's the only one who I think you can make more jokes about and not offend people is Mike Pence. Who likes Mike Pence? You know,
no one, not even Mrs. Pence.
In fairness, though, history will probably look at him okay, because he might have saved democracy in this country. And I hate to defend Mike Pence, but
I know
he did do the right thing.
But it's like the bar is so low. Yeah. It's just kind of like if you literally just don't do. Yeah. If you literally just don't fucking destroy the Constitution, you're a hero. You know, it's, right. That's what's so like amazing to watch is like how many off ramps they've had on the other side. And it's like there's so many situations where like, it's like, dude, just get off now. Just take this ramp off now and you'll be a fucking hero. You've stuck with this, you know, autocrat for 7-8 years who, like, you know, even 2 years after a failed coup, you've stuck with it. Like, all you have to do is like, now that he's basically going to jail for like, you know, trying to overturn an election, now you can be like, and all you have to do is be like, you know what, I don't know, I just don't really, you don't have to be like, oh, I hate him, just be like, I don't think he's the best candidate for us right now. Right. I don't think he has the best chance to win. Like, that's all you have to say. Like, I feel like that's kind of what's happening, is like, he's getting, it almost feels like, I'm trying to think of it, you know, like in Terminator or something, or like something where they just keep shooting someone and they finally fall and they refuse to fall, and then they just can't physically go on anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when are they finally going to be like, you know what? Like, I'm crazy and I'm in the cult, but it's like, we're just not going to win. He's just not going to win.
I don't think
never. They're just in because they're such like, you know what I mean? They're such paper tires and they're so weak, and they would just kind of go, you know, whichever way they need to go in the moment.
But I might have brought this up before. But I'll bring it up one more time. Trump gets convicted, goes to jail. Like September, October, wins the election.
What do you do?
No, but then there's like 3 months where you're like, okay, he's in jail. And then in January, he's going to be president. And the first thing, well, I don't know. So here's a good question. He can't be president unless he's sworn in, technically, right? So if he becomes president, he'll pardon himself, then he's out of jail. All right. I'm assuming that's the way it's going to go.
But the only thing is, in Atlanta, he can't do that.
Oh, right. That is a point. That is a good point. I would imagine a big. So then in that case, if it was Georgia, the pressure would be on the governor to pardon him right there. So then he would just get right out of jail. So, OK.
Or is it going to be like a Suge Knight thing? Remember when Suge Knight went to jail and he was like, I'm going to still run death row from jail.
Right. I know. Well, mob guys do that. Yeah. So, but all right, let's take it to one of these other cases, maybe. And it's a national thing. So then he goes to jail. He wins the election. He'll pardon himself, but the only way he can pardon himself is if he's president. So the swearing in ceremony is in jail.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen.
I can't imagine what that speech is going to be like. If you thought the other one was weird, the carnage, like literally the speech, what will the inauguration speech be like? I am going to kill you. Here's a list of people I am going to kill.
Right.
And then he'll just read off a list of people that he's going to have executed.
And he's doing this speech from jail.
Right.
Right.
And do you think there's going to be, when do you think people are going to, because it always happens with the cults. Well, usually with most of them, when they kind of deteriorate, where people finally are like, oh, shit, what am I in? And I feel like we are at that now. And right, it's like, but funny.
You look at any cult, usually the end of the cult is the end of the person. Jim Jones.
It's usually the
Marshall Atherton. Usually they're dead. So that's your answer right there.
Yeah. Or sometimes they go to jail, even though like Manson went to jail and the other women were in jail because of him. And they still were like, no, I'm still into him.
Right. I think didn't Squeaky Fromm, she was one of the Manson people, and she tried to assassinate President Ford. So
yeah, she didn't go to I think she did eventually, but not at first. But even the ones that he was like, go kill the people, and then they went to jail, they were still like, no, I'm still in New York. Right. I don't know. You're right. I guess
that's the only way I think it ends. Not saying don't. I'm not calling for the assassination. I'm just saying when he dies, maybe that'll. But then someone will be waiting in the wings to take over.
But when does like? When do like people in Congress actually start to go, you know what? I just don't think this is the best path. Like, even though you're still in the cult and you're crazy, like you're a politician. Like when, you know what I mean? Isn't that the point of being a politician? Where you kind of have to like maneuver and be like, all right, well, I don't think this is our best chance of winning. No.
But the problem is that you can do that, but you lose your job, because what happens is if you're not, there's certain places where it's not, doesn't mean as much, but exceptions to the rule. But what happens is if you're not a MAGA Republican, you will get primaried. You will get primaried. So you're not even going to get to the general election. They'll just put some MAGA candidate that says he's not loyal to our leader, and then they'll win the primary. So it's got to be just people willing to lose their jobs. But the problem is if all these guys do it and they lose their jobs, they're just going to be replaced by MAGA people. So that doesn't really help.
Do you think there's going to be like, I think there is going to be a time in when, you know, history, and people are going to be looking back, and there is going to be the thing of like, people are like, so wait, you liked this guy? Like you voted for him and you were behind him? Like what? Yeah. What about others? And then I guess they'd be like, because it's kind of similar to like the Hitler thing where you're like, there were people that after all that were still alive. And it was like, so you were into him? Like you support him? It's like, well, I mean, I like some of his policies. Like when does it go beyond like, well, I just kind of like, you know, I thought he was funny. I thought it was funny and I didn't like the other guy. It's just like, do you think it's going to be that extreme at some point?
Well, if you're talking about the terms of history, I don't even think people give a fuck about history anymore. They don't care. No one's going to look at back 20 years from now and go.
I do think you're right, but I do think this is such a huge era, and I just don't think this is going to go. This is such a big,
I hope
part
you're right.
of what's happening that, like, I'm not comparing him to Hitler, and only because I just don't think he's as effective. He just couldn't get things done as much as he, you know, he's just not very effective at getting things done,
right?
But that's the only thing I think really separates him from someone like Hitler. But I don't know. I just feel like I don't think this is such a monumental historical era that has lasted so much longer than anyone anticipated it lasting. And I don't think it's going away. I don't think I just don't think it's going to be like something that like in 30 years, people are like, what was going on? I think it's going to be like I mean, they're just going to make movies about this constant document. It's going to be like,
that's what that's the stuff that keeps that going. And you know what, to be honest, you're right. And with all these people, like Hitler was supposed to be like, I'm gonna have a Nazi empire for 1,000 years. It lasted 12. So Joe McCarthy, which I think is a bigger parallel, this was like 8 or 7. So we're on, what are we on here? We're on
almost about eight. Yeah.
So we'll see. It doesn't seem like these things go much longer than a decade, but they could.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, if he wins, if he wins, you also know that he's going to try to run again in 2028. There's no doubt of that.
If he wins, that's it. He's just president until he dies. Right. That's it.
And even if it's like a constitutional thing, he'll go and they can't get to, you know, an amendment to the Constitution is a big thing. Or, you know, if he doesn't want to do the military route of having the military just seize control, he'll just go, this is exactly what Putin did. Putin said he had this Dmitry Medvedev, you know that guy?
Medvedev,
They had term limits in Russia, and he goes, oh, he's the prime minister now. I'm just the president, whatever, you know? So he's the prime minister. But no, Putin was running the whole thing the whole time.
Yeah.
So Putin, Trump, in the essentially in 2028, could go, all right, what's his kid's name again? The main one.
Oh, which one?
Baron? Oh, Donald Jr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Jr., he's going to run for president. I'll be his vice president. That's not. And then, you know, who'll be running everything. I could see him doing that.
Okay. I think we have to wrap up. I'm
sorry.
The time. But I was just going to say, boy, he's just going to pack the court. He's literally just going to murder the liberal judges and then replace.
Yeah, you're right. The Supreme Court might say, hey, I don't know how they would do it, though. It's in the Constitution, but this Supreme Court.
That's over. Like, if he went, yeah, he has a lot of respect for the Constitution.
There was some guy, because they were talking about these kids. You know, you're a lawyer, you know, standing, right? The term standing. Yeah. You have to have a reason to sue. And this big Constitution or lawyer was looking at all the Supreme Court cases, and he's like, I don't even know what standing is anymore, because all these people had no reason to sue. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in the conservative's favor, because these aren't even cases. It's like,
who said this?
Some legal expert who's and you know, they're talking about like abortion laws or different laws at the Supreme Court. They're like, what was it, the wedding thing, the wedding cake, was it the wedding cake?
Was that like a recent one, the gay, where they were, right, like, we refused to make the cake?
Oh, no, it was the website. They're like, yeah, we only want to sell to straight people or whatever.
Yeah.
But the business wasn't even a business yet. They're like, I just want to start a business and I don't want to sell to gay people. So there was no standing there. They're like, we haven't been harmed yet.
And they're like, yeah, that's fine. You don't need standing. If you just have an idea. You know, if I had things, I don't think I would want gay people to be involved at all. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, yeah. Okay, bring it in.
It's funny.
I just have like a general sense of not liking gay people. Like, can I bring that to court, the Supreme Court? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because the guy was like, the constitutional lawyer was like, standing is now just vibes. That's what he said. It's just vibes. Like, I feel like this. So let's.
What do you think it's going to be like if he becomes president again? It's just going to be like cases like, you know, someone said something about, you know, about Trump. I didn't like it. Like, all right, he's dead.
All right. We'll wrap it up.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with a guest. And it'll be really fun and exciting. And we'll see you then. Thanks.
Bye.